Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, chapter 13, text 28. Samam sarveshu bhuteshu tishthantam parameshvaram vinashyat svavanishyantam yah pashyati sapashyati. One who sees the Supersoul accompanying the individual soul in all bodies, and who understands that neither the soul nor the Supersoul within the destructible body is ever destroyed, actually sees. Purport: anyone who by good association can see these, can see three things combined together: the body, the proprietor of the body or individual soul, and the friend of the individual soul, is actually in knowledge. Unless one has the association of a real knower of spiritual subjects, one cannot see these three things. Those who do not have such association are ignorant. They simply see the body, and they think that when the body is destroyed, everything is finished, but actually it is not so. After the destruction of the body, both the soul and the supersoul exist, and they go on eternally in many various moving and non-moving forms. The Sanskrit word Parameshvara is sometimes translated as the individual soul, because the soul is the master of the body, and after the destruction of the body, he transfers to another form. In that way, he is master. But there are others who interpret this Parameshvara to be the supersoul. In either case, both the supersoul and the individual soul continue. They are not destroyed. One who can see in this way can actually see what is happening. Samam sarveshu bhuteshu tishthantam parameshvaram vinashyat svavanishyantam yah pashyati sapashyati. Yah pashyati sapashyati. He who sees, sees. Who sees in this way actually sees. Much of what Krishna said, again, many times he speaks about seeing here in the Bhagavad Gita. You'll find, again, this is text 28 and 29, Sarvam Samam Pashyati, again, who sees, Samam Pashyati, he Sarvatra, one who sees it's definitely not egalitarianism, sameness, everywhere. Then in text 30, the verse after that, yapashyati tatamaram akataram sapashyati. Then again in text 31, ekastam anupashyati. So like this again and again, not only in this chapter, but throughout the Gita, Krishna speaks of seeing. So one perspective on the Bhagavad Gita, one way of understanding it, is that it is all about perspective. How to see the world. As Srila Prabhupada says at the end of this purport that we read today, one who sees in this way can actually see what is happening. So Krishna is speaking to Arjuna before Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna could see himself, Krishna, the fighters on both sides, the battlefield, the horses, the elephants, and afterward he saw the same things. But what perspective? How should we see? With what understanding? That is the point. Just like in English, if someone says, one way of saying I understand is to say I see. So that you see, it's already understood that you see. You don't have to say something, I see. A blind man may say, I see. And for him it's a big thing to say that. But for everyone else, we take it for granted that we see. But we don't see. Pashyanapi na pashyati. Seeing but not seeing. So we have to see through the eyes that Krishna gives. Jnana chakshusha. Shastra chakshusha. See through the eye of knowledge. Three, see through the eye of scripture. In one text, in the fourth canto of Bhagavatam, Vyasadeva, Narada, states that Krishna consciousness means to see the universe in the same way that Krishna sees it. Not exactly in the same way that Krishna sees it, because Krishna sees everything from the inside and from the outside. Microcosmically, macrocosmically, Krishna sees everything, but with the same understanding. Little different, because we see it with the understanding that everything belongs to Krishna and I am the servant of Krishna, and Krishna sees everything with the understanding that everything belongs to Krishna and I am Krishna. But to have the proper perspective, the whole point is to have the proper perspective. So I'm going to speak this evening on wrong perspectives, some specifically on misestimation, overestimation, and underestimation. That we see everything, but because we don't see in proper perspective, we take that to be important which is not important, and that which is important, we underestimate it. Mm-hmm. So Krishna consciousness means it's a simple adjustment of just getting things properly in focus, seeing the seeing everything in proper perspective. In materialistic consciousness, we tend to give credit where it is not due, and not to give credit where it is due. So this point of overestimation is very easy to see in this totally insane society, which is called the modern world, of which America is the emblem. People in other countries want to do things the American way, build big buildings, and the American people or government seem to be so convinced that their way of life is so much better that they will invade other countries and bomb them so that they can also have the privilege of having McDonald's, hamburgers, and all such advantages of the modern way of life, or the American way of life. So, in this modern society in America, if anyone has... You don't even have to have spiritual vision to see this. Just a little bit of rationality and that actual rationality and that highly uncommon feature called common sense. It's... It might have been at one point in time that people actually had some common sense. But it definitely is very uncommon nowadays. And what is common is to highly estimate people of no value, with nothing actually valuable to offer to anyone. I'm talking about film stars, music stars, sports stars, they're called stars. A star is something that shines. Although these people have nothing... What is the actual contribution to human society of someone who's adept at hitting a ball with a stick and running fast? That's baseball. And you're all Indian, so cricket, for you it's the same kind of game, right? Baseball, cricket, it's the same kind of idea. So I wonder, what is the percentage of people in India who have never heard, if you say the name Sachin Tendulkar, how many people have never heard of him? Have you ever heard of Sachin Tendulkar? No. To you it means nothing. Not in the slightest bit interested. But there are many, probably most of the But most Indians would they would be thrilled, delighted to have the prospect of even being able to say one word, even to get his autograph. He's the greatest batsman. You don't even know what a batsman is. You're so ignorant of the important things in life. He's the greatest batsman, is it, in the history of India? Is it? I don't know, but definitely for at least, well, maybe like 15 years or so. He must be getting really old now, but he's still going on. Still see his name. So look at this. Who's the greatest baseball player in America at the present time? Does anyone here know? Indians aren't interested in baseball, and you're also not interested in baseball. And I'm not interested in baseball either, so I don't know, but we're all a bunch of ignorant people here. But sports stars are highly overestimated. They earn huge amounts of money, right? But what is their actual contribution? What is there of any value? Even, I mean, we say someone, what is their contribution of lasting value? Even immediately, what is the value? Because we, even immediately, they have nothing to offer of value. It's just because we ascribe value or meaning to some game. Because games are actually meant, you know, they're for children and for young people to work off a little energy or something. But so much value has been placed on these games that such people are considered highly important. And even very prestigious, and they advertise. I mean, in Sachin, he advertises all kinds of things, right? You don't know. You don't live in India. I see his face all the time. Film star also, Amitabh Bachchan, Aaj Tak. He's so old, he's still going on, and he's advertising all kinds of things, pens and watches and pretty much everything. He's still actively making money. So, but what is his action? He's an entertainer. In Vedic culture, the entertainer is considered not very important. They're some low-class people. Low class, if we say that word in modern America, say, oh, that's very bad. Low class, call anyone low class. But actually they are, because they have nothing of real value to offer. Brahmana is estimated highly because he has actual knowledge to contribute to human society. The Kshatriya is also highly rated as the representative of Bhagavan. Narayanam Chandaradhipam, Krishna says. Among men, I am the king. Because he acts as a representative of Krishna. Krishna is all-powerful. King is all-powerful within his jurisdiction. So he represents Krishna. Then the Vaishyas, who are making money, they're not considered very important. And Shudras are not also. But in modern society, Shudras or Shudradham, those who are less than Shudras, they're rated very highly. And who can make money? They're rated very highly. Who has spiritual knowledge? The Hare Krishna comes in the movies as some joke figure, that's all. They're wasting their time. They're not playing baseball. They're not making money. They're simply wasting their time talking about some scriptures or what. Who cares what they're doing? As long as if they're not making money or playing baseball, then they're completely useless people. So overestimated. Film stars, sports stars, what other kind of stars? Yeah, rock stars. Rock or rap. Rap stars or whatever, all different kinds of music they're actually this hellish music. It's like some entertainment. Their very sound is so nasty that only people of hellish consciousness could like that. But they're considered very highly and earn lots of money. And their opinion is sort of on so many things. Srila Prabhupada, he was, he noted that this John Lennon, who was he was so famous, and now maybe people don't even know. that his opinion is sought. He's considered a philosopher, but what for? Because he can sing some songs and make some music. In modern society also, the women, they go on stage and they scream into a microphone, and that's called music. But that was, Srila Prabhupada said that, he noted that when there was some marriage being discussed, marriage prospect being, and someone asked, from one family asked another family, can your daughter sing and dance? And they immediately rejected. That, no, my daughter's not a prostitute. She doesn't sing and dance. That's for prostitutes only. I remember years ago, this is in the early 1980s, I was on a flight from Bangkok to Bombay, and one man told me his daughter's a film star in Bombay, in Bollywood. Patil. Someone or other. Yeah, I saw later on the film, and I said, are you proud of that? Are you proud that your daughter's just like a prostitute, dancing in front of millions of people, and you're proud? So he was proud, actually, but this is nothing to be proud of, simply to entertain people, to divert them from the actual goal of life. So these people are totally overestimated of being valuable, important contributors to society. What do they contribute to? Sports stars, music stars, film stars, they contribute to this entertainment means to make a covering or a diversion from what the actual goal of life is, to inquire into the nature of reality. And they simply, instead of inquiring into the nature of reality, we give importance to movies means some story, some made-up story. Star Wars, and what's that? Matrix, and what's this? Harry Potter, just all, everything imagination. All imagination, and people take it very seriously. And then baseball, and people say, important match. What's important about it? People think it's important, but it has no actual bearing on anything, even materially. It only has importance. Materially, some things are important. Food is important. Roti, kapra, makan. These things are important. Now, food, clothing, shelter. These things are important materially. But sports and films and silly songs, they have no importance, even materially. It's just a diversion. So these people are totally overestimated. They have not only do they not have anything of value, but they are actually the opposite. They're diverting us away from that which is actually of value. So they should be totally rejected, or there shouldn't be such a syndrome in the first place. But they're given great value in modern society. Rich men also, that I was saying, because who has money? They are considered very important. That's mentioned in Bhagavatam as a symptom of Kali Yuga. Vittam eva kalo nrinam gunachara gunoda. Who has money in Kali Yuga, they are considered to be a very high class gentleman, very aristocratic. Just if they have money, that's all. If someone has money, they are considered very respectable. Srila Prabhupada said about all these lords in England, that they'd go to, like Lord Clive, he was a famous name in the British Raj. He went as an ordinary assistant, boy, peon type, to India, and somehow he made it up to being viceroy, and he became a lord. So somehow or other they exploit others by trickery, and they get money and they become a lord. If you have lots of money, then you become a lord. Even recently in Britain there was some scandal that people would pay money to the Labour Party, which was in power, and then they'd be made a lord. That was going on secretly. it came out. So that previously aristocracy meant that the kshatriyas that have culture, that have some contribution to human society. But now to be recognized as aristocratic, just you have money, that's all. Vitamova kalonrinam janma chara gunodaya. One is considered high class, respectable family, well behaved gentleman, just by money, that's all. So rich people are considered very high class, very important, even though their behavior is abominable. So they're also over it. Politicians, also, they're now, actually, those who are guiding society, they should be respected. But the modern-day politicians, they're all very bad people, inasmuch as they're all overseeing all sinful activities in human society. Now, if someone is the President of the United States, he's very, he's considered a very highly honored, honorable person, but he has to take 1/6 of the reactions of all the citizens, and then, whew, that's a lot. If you consider what's going on in this country, daily, millions of living beings being killed between the cows, the pigs, the chickens, the human babies, abortions. So they're actually, not only are they personally sinful, the politicians, but they also have to take the sinful reactions of others. And politician now, they're supposed to get the votes, but it's not so much what their policies are, but how they look on TV, their image, it's all image. So they're also like some cheap movie star. And even materially they're overrated, because as everyone knows, it's not the politicians who are guiding the policies anyway. It's the big money people who are doing that. The politicians are slaves of the big money people, that's all. So they're overestimated also. Now what about, as we were driving down, we saw some Martin Luther King. What about that, Martin Luther King? He was a good man, right? Did a lot of good for human society. He's another useless person, actually. If I say this, I could get shot. Well, he wouldn't approve of that, because he was supposed to be a follower of Mahatma Gandhi, who also got shot, and Martin Luther King also got shot. But they have actually nothing of any real value to contribute to human society. Making some social or political adjustment, it may seem very good, but without pursuing the actual goal of life, everything comes to be a big zero. Parabhavastavad abodhajata yavanna jignyasata atmatattvam. All the people who are doing good in human society, they're simply contributing to the illusion that we can make society better without pursuing the actual goal of life. Everything is ultimately ends in defeat, which means punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, punarapi janani jatareshayanam, repeated birth and death. Unless we inquire into the real meaning of life, then making social or political adjustments won't actually help us. We may say, well, the black people are better off now, but how? How better off? You maybe have a little more self-esteem as you career on your way to hell. What's the value, actually? People, they don't know the meaning of life. They're all engaged in sinful activities. And to have more so-called freedom as you make your path into hell without understanding the actual purpose of human life, is that actually very helpful? It's just like if you're driving in a car which is going 80 miles an hour straight into a big brick wall, and you just adjust the seat to make yourself more comfortable. Is that actually something very valuable? So like this, people say, oh, Martin Luther King, such a great man, he did. But it's exactly like that. Everyone's driving into the brick wall of repeated birth and death, committing so many sinful activities, and it makes some little social adjustment which makes us think now we're better, now we have a more democratic society and blacks liberation and all. But it's the wrong perspective on the purpose of human life. Because we have the wrong perspective, we take that to be important which is not important, and that which is not important to be important. So yes, we agree that no one should be exploited. That's a fact. But if you take that as the major point, without understanding that human life is meant for God realization, then you can never stop exploitation anyway. As that attitude of exploitation will always be there. So directly or indirectly, I mean, the position of the blacks in general isn't very good, even though one of them is the president of this country. But even if it was, even if they actually, that will never happen. That it'll never be in human society that there's one class. It'll never be a classless society, because people are different. The idea that we're all equal is another bogus idea. The strong always exploit the weak. That is the natural law, as Srila Prabhupada pointed out. There will always be a dominant class of a few people and a majority who are dominated. That will always be there. And the Varnashram system set up by Krishna recognizes that and trains those who are leaders in the spirit of non-exploitation, that they will dominate without exploitation. They have Ishvara Bhav, is one of the qualities of the Kshatriya. Now in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that Ishvara Bhav is one of the demoniac qualities. Ishvara Oham Aham Bhogi. To think I am the controller and the enjoyer, that is a demoniac quality. But then again for the Kshatriya, he says Ishvara Bhav is one of the qualities. But the proper Kshatriya thinks Ishvara Oham Aham Sevi. I'm taking the position of God, actually, the controller within society, as a service to Krishna and as a service to everyone else. So the politicians, they're also overrated. Even the very great welfare workers, or the great people who do so much very valuable things for human society, even the highly lauded spiritual and religious people, Vivekananda was so much. In India, people think that in America everyone is very appreciative of Vivekananda, isn't it? But they never heard of him. They think Vivekananda did such a great thing. But what did he do? He talked all nonsense, very, very sinful. Daridra Narayan, this idea of Daridra Narayan is very sinful idea. That Narayan, who is Lakshmipati, the husband of the goddess of fortune, has become poor, and you can serve him by feeding the poor Narayana. So very bad, so many bad ideas. Jato mot toto pot, all the paths are the same. Is Ramakrishna, he was eating beef. People don't know that, because he wanted to show. Now I'm following Christianity. To show all the paths are the same, for some time he followed Christianity, so he thought you have to eat beef, and in Islam you have to eat beef. That shows you're a real Muslim. So what is that? He's an ignorant man, and he's lauded as a great Paramahamsa. Because people are ignorant, they don't have the right perspective. They give credit where it is not due. That we overestimate Vivekananda is not exactly right, because to overestimate means that he has some value, but you put it higher than it actually should be. But actually he has no value, or is not only valueless, but harmful. So even to say, it's not really an overestimation, it's a total misestimation. to think that he is a very good person. There are so many. This Mother Teresa is lauded as such a great person. What actual value? I mean, I was living in Calcutta. No one ever spoke of her. She got discovered at some point by the Western press, who boosted her up to be so great. But like in the 1970s and early 1980s, no one ever spoke a word. No one ever cared anything about her. It's just like so many other people, she got boosted up by the media as being such a great welfare worker. But there were so many poor in Calcutta. She's supposed to help them, and still, for all her so-called help, there's still so many poor, and still there are so many poor, and there always will be also. So what is her actual contribution? She's also, anyway, I spoke about her so many times, another meat eater, helping the poor and killing the animals. And Dalai Lama, also another overrated person, big meat eater, talking of peace and killing animals. So like this, mostly because people have wrong perspectives. They take someone who they like it. Actually, because people are so superficial, they like someone who pretends to be good. They like that. So many sadhus, they talk nicely, and they talk love, peace, compassion, and smile. And people saying, oh, very nice. Because people, they want to be cheated. They don't. What is actual love? Love means love for Krishna. What is actual compassion? Compassion means, as Srila Prabhupada said, not to blow on the boil. If someone has a boil, if you blow on it, that won't help. You have to cut it with a knife. So actual compassion means to disabuse people of their misconceptions. To explain the actual nature of reality, to distinguish it from that which is illusion. But most of these so-called sadhus, they just speak in such a way that increases the illusion. They speak about love, peace, compassion without explaining that all this can only be in Krishna consciousness. As long as there is any motive of enjoying this material world, then all our love, peace, and compassion, it's all on the material platform. They can't. It simply leads back. Whether you're so-called good or so-called bad, as long as we don't understand that, the same point. Parabhavastavada bodhajata yavanna jignasata atmatatvam. As long as we don't distinguish matter from spirit, which is the point of this chapter, the 13th chapter, and of all the Bhagavad Gita, then whether we're so-called good or so-called bad, it all leads to the same thing. Janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha. Either you have birth, death, old age and disease in the heavenly planets or in the hellish planets, it all leads to the same thing. It's all bad. There's nothing good about this material world. So to praise anyone except the pure devotee of Krishna and Krishna himself is to overestimate, misestimate them. They actually have no good qualities. That is stated, that verse Prabhupada also often used to quote, that harava bhaktasya kato mahanguna manoratena asati dhavatobhi. Where are the great qualities of so-called good people? They're all simply on the mental platform. They have no real understanding of reality. So these good, so-called good qualities of people in this material world who are on the material platform, it is not, even though they may think that they may actually think, I want to be good. But because they don't know who is Krishna, they don't inquire into the nature of reality of that we have to surrender to Krishna, their so-called being good, it's another delusion, just like the sports player, it's a delusion, it's a diversion from reality. So even the so-called being good, that's also a diversion from reality, because it just ends up in birth, death, old age and disease. When there's no Krishna, they're not leading us to Krishna. If you don't lead us to Krishna, then it's birth, death, old age and disease. So even the so-called good people, they're also actually not good, because they all contribute to the same illusion. Who else is overestimated? Well, in this country, dogs. Right? Everyone loves their dog, such an affectionate creature. They love you so much. Now in India also, because whatever the Western people have to do, Indians have to do also. Still in India, you don't see toilet paper much, but I guess it's just a matter of time before they bring toilet paper, and they'll make a point not to bathe after passing stool, because we have to be just like the Westerners, right? So dogs, there's so much. This, America is practically dog culture, isn't it? They give so much importance to the dog. They're killing millions of cows, pigs, chickens every day, and human babies in the womb. But if someone, if on the street they're beating their dog, they'll call the police. They'll be in the newspaper, and the person will be considered a vile person, the worst possible person. Shastra states that anyone, only chandalas keep dogs in their homes. So you can tell that to them, modern Indians. They have dog hotels, is it? What's that for? When you go on holiday or something? They entertain how? They do dances for the dogs? We heard of dancing dogs, but now they have dancing humans, dancing for the dogs. Crematorium, yeah. People leave millions of dollars to their dog. What happens to when they leave millions of dollars to the dog? They buy nice sausages and bones for it. So insane. So mad. They create a trust. In memory, they have a feast for all the dogs in every year in memory of some dog. And it just...
Mobile spa.
Mobile spa?
Like healthcare for dogs. They come to your doorstep, you take the dog, and in the mobile van.
Oh, they bring a van around and then they give the dog like a health check and everything. Check his pulse and his cholesterol and all that kind of thing.
They groom the dog.
They groom the dog, yeah. So really, I mean, dogs are really highly overestimated, isn't it? What about Janani Janmabhumishcha Swargam Eva Gariyasi? That one, everyone thinks their own country, my country. My country is so great. There was no nationalism in India. It has all been promoted recently. In fact, there were in many countries, they weren't even countries. It's a European idea. In all of Africa, there were no countries. In Europe, well, it came up. It was the different nation states. Yeah, nation states, city states. Yeah. I mean, there were borders. Now, even that's mentioned with Prithu Maharaj. He made borders with rivers and mountains and this and that. But the idea of and our nation. Even this, in India, they separated the states on a linguistic basis, but that was never the previously that the idea. And then they made the Tamil people don't like the Hindi speaking people, all this kind of thing. And it's so artificial, because anyway, just like Gujarat, there's people, some people are speaking Gujarati, others people are speaking Kathiawadi, Kachi. There are different, in every state, there are different languages. Like that. In Karnataka, the Kannada speaking, Tulu speaking, this Kurgi speaking, the whole Kurg district speaking Kurgi, and then the Gaur Saraswat Brahmanas, they speak Konkani, and all different languages, all completely artificial. And so this idea, my country is so great. It's just like I like my country better than another country. Last night I was speaking to some young people from India who were in America, and they were saying, well, they like India better than America. So I gave the example, if you take... Garibi Hatal. What's that got to do with the present discussion?
nowadays in India going on that somebody said, who is Ramdev Baba or somebody?
That was Indira Gandhi made this Garibi Hatal years ago. Now Ramdev's saying the same thing. Lekin hatana to kabhi nahi ho. It's not possible. There's a saying, who said, there's an English saying, the poor will always be with us. Jesus said that, I believe, because Prabhupada quoted that. The poor will always be with us. Garibi Hatal means drive out poverty. It was one of Indira Gandhi's slogans. The poor will always be with us. That's, you can't stop it. Prabhupada himself said when he came to America, he was surprised to see there were beggars. And that's everywhere. You get the impression in the West, from India, you get the impression that everyone's living a very luxurious life. But there are so many poor people in this country. They'll always be there. So, let's get back to it. Yeah, I was giving that example that you see there may be two pieces of stool. And one worm is in one piece of stool. If you take him to, he's living, he's born in that stool and he's eating it and thinking it's very nice. If you put him in another piece of stool, he'll think, well, this is stool, but the stool I was born in was much better. That's the real best stool. Because that's what I really like. So like that, we're born in one country and we think, well, my country is so wonderful. I don't like this other country, but it's just like that. One worm is in one piece of stool. You put him in another piece of stool, he's always thinking, how I can get back to my original piece of stool. What is that? This attachment to the country is just another Maya, that's all. Of course, India is important, but not because of the cricket team won the World Cup. Did you know that? The Indian cricket team won the Cricket World Cup this year. So India is important. See, you're not excited? Doesn't turn you on? So, no one in America even knows, they don't even know, they haven't heard of the game of cricket, right?
They have teams.
They have teams with all Indians and Pakistanis, right? And West and Jamaicans and this and that, yeah.
That's popular in India, America.
It's becoming popular in America. They don't have enough sports already. No, that's what I'm saying. It's popular, but it's popular among people of Indian, Pakistani, Bangladeshi and West Indian descent. Is it? Anyway, let's not talk too much about cricket. We don't get diverted here. So, yeah, we think, my country, it's so, you know, so wonderful. Prabhupada gave the example that this first cosmonaut from, they probably don't teach this in the American schools, but the first man in space was Yuri Gagarin from, in India they know, because India was always friends with Russia. So, and then when they first went into space, and then they said, we look back and we saw Russia. So Prabhupada gave the example, they're looking for Russia. They went out into space. Actually, they went, what, maybe 100 miles up or something, that's all. Can you go further? Can you go to the moon? Well, that's another talk. There's the Van Allen belt of radiation, so we're told that if you go through it you'll die. So how do they go to the moon? Anyway, so Prabhupada gave that example. He went so far away up into space, but instead of looking out at the space, he was looking back, where is Russia? Where is Moscow? Everyone's attached to the piece of stool they're born in. So we overestimate. My country is so wonderful. I love my country. Now, one person who everyone in this world overestimates is themselves. Right? We always think, I'm very important. I often give that example that you can see on the news, like 200 people killed in a plane crash, but if you have a little itch in your toe, that's more concern to you than your 200 people killed in the plane crash. like you're mocking, oh, I have this itch in my toe bothering me, and 200 people killed in a plane crash, and you don't give a damn about that, but I have an itch in my toe, and that's really that's something important to me. So we all think of this world in terms of ourselves. You know, what's important to me? That we were just discussing, that generally, even reading the Bhagavad Gita, mostly people think, what can I get for me? But the real message is to think, how can I become a servant of Krishna? Just like that verse, we were just discussing this. Ananyas chintayanto mangye janah paryupasate te sham nityabhiyuktanam yoga kshemam vahami aham. Krishna says that those who think of me without deviation, I supply them all they need for their practice of yoga. I give them what they need. So, one way of reading this is to think, okay, let me think of Krishna, then I'll get everything I need. That's one way of saying that Krishna will look after me. I'll become a devotee of Krishna and Krishna will look after me. But the devotional way of looking at it is to think that let us simply serve Krishna, and let's not bother about all our needs. Anyway, Krishna is so kind, he will look after that. A devotee doesn't demand that I will be supplied this and that. But that may be a preaching point to others who are not that much convinced. Anyway, we want only to think of Krishna. We have no other interests. But for those who are not convinced, Krishna says, anyway, don't you worry, I'll look after you. Because after all, Bhagavad Gita is spoken to people, Arjuna representing the whole class of people, means everyone in the material world, who's not interested in thinking of Krishna. So Krishna says, don't worry, I'll look after you. You be my devotee, I'll look after you. But a real devotee thinks, anyway, I only want to think of Krishna, and nothing to worry. If anyone is afraid of that principle, just like people ask, well, what will happen if the whole world became devotees? You see, no one would go in the factories, and they're very good, and they would close all the factories. And actually, there'd be no need to work. There'd be no need even for farming. In the Satya Yuga, people were, they weren't farming. They were simply doing, they were in Satya Yuga, Krite Yadhyayato Vishnam. People would get food from here and there, from the forest, whatever Krishna would send. Paramahamsa. They don't try even to get food. But Krishna sends. Krishna provides. They don't demand very much. They don't demand anything. So everyone overestimates themselves. Another thing we all overestimate is the whole material situation. We give so much importance to this world. What's going to happen to this world? What does it matter what's going to happen to this world? What's going to happen to this world is that there'll come a time when everything will burn up. You're afraid of nuclear bombs? Well, the time will come when the whole, never mind about one little city here and there, the whole material world will burn up. So what is it? We give so much importance to this material situation, what's going on in the world, but actually, what is the value of this world? The really important world is the world beyond this, the spiritual world. That's the important world. But we give so much importance to this world because we think this is reality. There's nothing beyond this. So we overestimate everything material, and we grossly underestimate Krishna. We should understand who is important. Krishna is important. Mataparataram nanyat kinchit asti dananjaya. No one is equal to or superior to me. But we don't give importance to Krishna. Even if people superficially give importance to Krishna, they say, well, he was a great politician, great philosopher. But that's also grossly underestimating him. He's not a great politician. Well, he is a great politician, and he is the greatest philosopher, and the greatest he's the greatest everything, but he's so great we can't even begin to estimate him. And we think, well, Krishna's just one of the gods. or people have no interest in Krishna. Some people have no interest in Krishna, some people have superficial interest in Krishna. But even if we tried to estimate Krishna's glories, we couldn't do so. Even Brahma, who's got much more ability to do so than us, he thought he could estimate Krishna by stealing. He thought he could put Krishna in his place. Who is this little boy? What, he thinks he's so great, and Brahma stole all the cowherd boys and calves. Then after seeing Krishna's glories, Krishna demonstrated some part of his glories, then Brahma said, Jananta eva janantu kimbahu tyachame prabho manasa vachasa vapo vaibhavantava gocharaha. Brahma said, others may think that they can know you, but let them think like that. As far as I'm concerned, which Brahma is indirectly saying that they cannot know because no one is as qualified as Brahma in the whole universe. As far as I'm concerned, by my mind, by my words, by any effort, I cannot even begin to estimate your glories. So we cannot but underestimate Krishna, even if we try our very best to appreciate Krishna. We can never appreciate Krishna enough. But those who willingly underestimate him, they overestimate dogs and cats and sports stars and film stars and themselves and the whole material world. So Krishna consciousness is the perspective to see who is actually important. Krishna is important. And everything in this world without Krishna is of no ultimate importance. It doesn't matter. You can become the President of the United States. You can become celebrated as a great saintly person. You can become a GBC or a guru, a weightlifter, a very powerful big body. Even among the elephants, there's in every elephant, cows, dogs, there's the biggest, right? Who's the most prestigious? Everyone's interested in prestige. But the proper estimation, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives us the clue how to see the world as we should see it. Trinadapi sunichena tarariva sahishuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. To consider, what is my position? My position is not even that of grass. Ontologically, we are no greater than the grass is also a living being. I was a grass at one point. I was a dog at one point. I was a cat at one point. I was a tree at one point. Now I'm in a human body. But ontologically, I'm no more than a grass. And the grass may be more fortunate than me, because the pure devotee may tread on his head. So I'm less than a grass. And to be more tolerant than a tree, because why should I give myself any importance? If people are supposedly mistreating me, why should I give that importance? To give credit to others, not to give credit to oneself, and to always chant the glories of Hari. That is the proper perspective which Krishna is giving us in Bhagavad Gita. So that's one way to understand Bhagavad Gita, that shifting our perspective from being egocentric to being Krishna-centric, to understand that everything is Krishna, everything is in Krishna, everything is controlled by Krishna. We are all servants of Krishna. Krishna is everything. Still, he's aloof from everything. He's the Supreme Person. And without Krishna, everything is meaningless. There is nothing without Krishna. But that vision of seeing the world as being without Krishna, that is foolishness, that is a wrong perspective by which we give importance to that which is not important, and neglect the only important thing, which is Krishna. And the only other important thing is that which is in relation to Krishna, Krishna's pure devotees. They are also important. Prabhupada is important. Why is Prabhupada important? What did he do? How many hospitals did he start? How many billions of dollars did he earn? How many wars did he conquer? He didn't do any of these things. He spoke about Krishna. He infused Krishna. Actually, he made so many hospitals. All these temples are all spiritual hospitals. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that the neophyte devotee ringing the bell in the arati, in the temple of Krishna, that does more benefit to human society, both materially and even materially, what to speak of spiritually, than opening millions of hospitals. That's a different perspective, isn't it, to that of, oh, we're really helping people, we're opening hospitals. You can, better than opening a hospital, ring the bell in the arati. Because Krishna is pleased. Yasmin tushte jagat tushte. If Krishna is pleased, then the whole world can be satisfied. Without Krishna, shakali nirasha. Everything is hopeless. Okay, I saw Jai Gaurasinghe looking at the clock. I take that as a sign. Take that as a sign that it's time to finish. And Hare Krishna. All glories to Krishna and no glories to anything else. Questions, comments, protests can all be taken now. Yeah.
Why is it you're preaching to some Western people and you explain to them, you know, this world is full of dangers and this can happen? He said, I know it, but let me enjoy right now because we're seeing the next time.
You're preaching to someone that this world is full of dangers and they say, yes, I know, but let me enjoy because anyway we don't know what's going to happen in future.
Yeah.
So how do you explain to them? Well, you can say you don't know, but that doesn't mean that no one knows. That's ostrich philosophy. Put your head in the sand. It's the same thing. You're driving a car 80 miles an hour into a brick wall, and you want to listen, you're adjusting the sound and the AC so you can have some nice music and some comfortable, make the seat comfortable. The fact is that you are heading towards suffering. You should be. Now, we are proposing there is a way to overcome this suffering and come to a position of actual happiness. You're not enjoying anyway. You say, let me enjoy, but you're not enjoying. You see all these people, they go out on Friday night and Saturday night. They're not enjoying. When they go out, they come back looking more miserable than they went out. Isn't it? That's not enjoyment. But of course, people who are attached to that which is asat, it's very difficult to preach to them. They're deliberately unintelligent. But still we have to try. Giving Prabhupada's books is always powerful form of preaching. But it's good to say it to them. Even if they don't accept it now, and say it strongly and clearly. Because if you say it softly, they'll just forget it. Tell them that the cats and dogs, they think the same thing. You tell them that. That's the philosophy of the cats and the dogs. And they may be shocked, but they'll think about it. If you don't say it strongly, they won't even think about it. And by your mercy, then when they do experience suffering, which they will do, there comes a point in everyone's life when the experience of suffering hits them more, then they'll have something to think about. That actually what they said was right. Yeah, you want to make a comment on that?
Yes, I would add to it all that you know, how does that, what's the purpose in your life? How does your view on life make it any valuable? And if it doesn't make it any valuable, then, you know, living or dying right now would make no sense.
Yeah, but a lot of people are so stupid that say, yeah, okay. But anyway, let me enjoy.
Well, then I'll kill you right now, let's see.
No, I want to enjoy, so why?
Why? If it makes no sense.
There was, many years ago in Calcutta, Shelda Station.
Because anyways, once you're dead, you won't know whether you enjoyed or suffered. You won't be.
That's what they're
saying. It's too much philosophy. I'm going to drink a beer. You go into the university and speak. I'll drink a beer. People are like that. But then with such people, they are achikitsya, in the words of Jiva Goswami. They're incorrigible. You're a chikitsak, is it? You're a doctor. There's no treatment will help them. Years ago, at Shelda Station in Calcutta, some of the local train comes in, and there's all people cramming to jump in to get a seat because there's limited seats and most people have to stand. So it's dangerous at the edge. And one time Achyutananda Swami was there, and one man fell on the line and then he got mangled, but somehow he was still alive, and they pulled him up. But obviously he had no hope to live. So Achyutananda Swami said, "Chant Hare Krishna." "Now you're going to die, chant Hare Krishna." So he said, "Give me a cigarette and let me die like a man." His consciousness was clear enough to think like that in the midst of his pain and his blood. He's maintained his foolish, false pride. What can you do for such a person? Shuni lena shune kam, as Narottam says. People hear, but they don't hear. Pashan api na pashati, shrinvan api na shrinvati. They see, but they don't see. They hear, but they don't hear. But still, we should. Even though people are mudha, they're fools and rascals, still we should try to make them intelligent. As Srila Prabhupada said when it was... Hare Krishna was accused of being a brainwashing movement. Prabhupada said, "We're not brainwashing, we're brain giving. You don't have any brain." Yeah. It's brainwashing, you have stool in your brain, it requires to be washed. This was Prabhupada's response. Okay, we'll finish. People are looking and watching. I have to get up and go to work tomorrow. So, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.